You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham.
A requiem is a mass for the dead. So it's an ancient Catholic burial rite. And it's a recipe, a series of prayers that basically sends a person's soul from the living world to the cosmic eternal world.
That is Ann Arbor native Stephen Edwards, who composed a requiem for his mother, Rosalie Edwards. He joins us now to talk about the documentary and about the requiem and the debut performance of it in Rome. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Stephen, what I know about classical music in general and a requiem specifically, you could fit in a teacup. But I do know loss, so please, let's tell me about your mother first.
Well, Rosie was a lifelong resident of Ann Arbor, actually, lifelong Michigander. And she was a musician trained at the University of Michigan, got her master's in basically teaching with a flute performance minor, I think it was. So she was quite a schooled musician and was teaching in the schools around the Ann Arbor area and also was the conductor of the Women's Glee Club at the University of Michigan. So in my house, it was basically from square one, day one, we were musicians. You know, we had music around. We listened to every imaginable kind of music from my earliest memory. So it was pretty automatic for me to become a musician because I had a mother for a musician.
You attended Interlochen Center for the Arts, Lawrence University in Wisconsin. So how much did she encourage you to make it a career?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, you know, making music as a career, you kind of have to have a little bit of a screw loose to try to monetize this business because it's so hard to make money doing it. I mean, if you teach at a university, that's one thing. But if you're trying to write music and get people enrolled in your cause and get them to pay you to write it, it was sort of like she was encouraging it, even though she didn't necessarily know what that meant and what it took. I just remember her saying when I was a little kid, you know, you could write music for this commercial jingle. And if you do, you get paid every time it plays. And I just looked at that and I said, that sounds like something, you know, if there's a way to monetize it and I love music and I love doing it, I'm definitely interested.
Let's talk about your day job then. Tell us what you do.
I write scores for movies and TV.
And tell me some of the films you've scored.
Oh, geez. I have to look up myself on IMDb now because I don't even remember what I did. But there's about 60 feature films I've done. I'm just starting a new movie literally tomorrow called Stoic, starring Antonio Banderas.
And you also got to do the commercials you were talking about. I want to go back at the end of life for your mother. Would you please describe the moments before you lost your mother? Where were you and what did you do for her?
Well, I was actually, she was diagnosed with cancer in September of that year she died, or the year before she died, and she passed away in February. So it was literally about a 5-month span from being a healthy, traveling the world person, conducting choirs, you know, flying out to visit me and my family, you know, being a very active, not an old person by anybody's definition. And this disease, she died of cancer, it struck her down very, very quickly. So when it got really bad and, you know, it was the end of her life, I was actually at SeaWorld with my daughters and got that call from my father saying, you know, she's not going to last the night. So basically I flew back to Detroit on the first flight I could get on. And when I came back home, basically she was on her last legs. And that's when I talk about in the film where I actually, you know, like we actually took her back to the house I grew up in. And that's where she ended up, you know, that's where she passed away. And, you know, the last hours I got to spend with her, I actually played piano for her because there was the Steinway I grew up in my house and she was in the bedroom above and we had a baby monitor hooked up. So I just sat there and played music for her, you know, in her last hours, because what the hospice nurse told us was, you know, at the end of your life, the last thing that goes is your hearing. So I figured, well, we're not just going to sit here and stare at the wall. I'm going to do something about it. So it was a very poignant moment for me, as you can imagine, and the rest of my family as well, and my father too.
When did it occur to you that you wanted to compose a requiem for your mother?
Well, that's a great question. The requiem I'd always wanted to do. I'd done some other liturgical works. I did a mass that premiered at Carnegie Hall in 2004, and that's how I got introduced to the woman that I know we're going to be talking about, Candace Wickie, the founder and principal conductor at the Continuing Arts Foundation. But Pope John Paul II died in 2005, and I started kicking around the idea with Candace of writing a requiem for the Pope, just because he was such a seminal figure in the 20th century and so important to so many people, I thought, this is just a golden opportunity to write something for him. And I think I barely started when Rosie got sick, and it became very clear to me very early on that it was going to be for Rosie.
I want to play, you mentioned Candace Wiki. I want to play a little clip from the documentary of Candace.
Okay, yaw, it's very tall. Move, and ready, and okay, this is not Sesame Street, right? Jaw is dropped, soft palate is up, and you have to roll enough air to fill up that space.
That's Candace Wiki. She is a force of nature, isn't she? Tell me about her and her role in Your Requiem.
Well, Candace is, I've known Candace since 2004, and actually, interestingly, Rosie introduced me to Candace because Candace's choir, she was conducting a high school choir, got invited to this convention that Rosie was attending, and her choir did a performance there, and Rosie heard it, and she was just blown away, and she went up and said, you know, we got to meet, we're both women choir conductors. And then she went on to tell Candace that her son writes music, and you can imagine sort of the eye roll that must have happened when she said that, because there's so many of us. But anyway, she handed her a CD of the Ave Maria Mass, which was the first big symphonic choral work I wrote, and Candace ended up becoming a conductor in residence at Carnegie Hall, and so that was the first piece she programmed there.
Well, that's pretty impressive. And so
yeah.
I want to talk about, as you composed the Requiem, you had a difficult time composing, I believe it's the fourth movement, the Dies Irae. Why is that part of the Requiem especially important?
That's a great question. I think it's just because of what that text says. It is so dramatic and fiery. I mean, if I can't imagine another more fire and brimstone dramatic piece about talking about burning in the fires of hell and the wrath of God. So it is the movement in the Requiem that has the most inherent anger in it. And so the Verdi Dies Irae and the Mozart Dies Irae from both of their Requiems are literally iconic pieces of music. And even like when you say you don't know much about Requiems, I'll bet you dollars to donuts if I played both of these pieces for you, you'd recognize them.
They're well, I do now because I watched the film.
Yeah, and they are, you know, they are the fabric of our society. I mean, they're in movie trailers, and it's just one of those. It's like if that piece of music doesn't grab your attention, you need to check your pulse, you know. So
did that just come to you, or did you just, how did you keep at it until you found what you needed?
Well, it was that, and it was the most frustrating process because those two, no matter what I did, I couldn't shut them off. I couldn't keep them from rattling in my head. So I kept sort of writing blueprints of what theirs were. And I knew that it had to be something else, you know, something special. And I kept just, you know, what I described in the film, I would just punt. I would just stop writing that piece and I would go work on something else because it just wasn't coming to me.
Give me the few notes you came up with. Let me hear what it sounds like.
Well, let's see. It's just Dies Irae, Dies Irae, Sol et Seclum in Favilla. And so it's I'm the worst singer. I sound like Kermit the Frog when I sing. But the point is that I turned it into sort of this multi-metric, very modern sound. Very modern sound juxtaposed with an ancient text. And it was the eureka moment, probably one of the few eureka moments when I was writing the piece, because I just couldn't figure it out. And finally, one day, it just sort of, you know, that inexplicable, it just sort of came to me sitting at the piano one day.
Now, writing the Requiem is one thing. The logistics of getting all the choir members from several churches, the Prague Symphony Orchestra to Rome for the performance, the debut performance, was quite a feat in itself. What there, once everybody was in Rome, made it to Rome, how much of a chance was there to get the practice together?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of preparation. This is when Candace Wiki really comes in and takes over the whole thing. It's her organization, Continual Arts Foundation. And so she got invited by Musica Sacra in Rome. And then when she got invited, she invited me. And then after she invited me, she started inviting choirs. And the choirs were from all over the country, from Wisconsin, Florida, New Jersey, New York. And there were several smaller church choirs that we basically put together into this. She put together into this giant 170-voice choir. So then you can imagine the choirs had to learn the music. So she even did residencies where she flew to Wisconsin, she flew to Miami, and she had local choirs. And she would rehearse the singers. The local choir conductors would prepare them. And then Candace would fly in and sort of do the, you know, the real preparation, which is her interpretation of the piece.
Yeah, we should say these folks are almost all amateurs, right?
That's right. They don't do it for a job, but they're, you know, they sing great. And obviously they absolutely nailed the performance. But they had to be taught the music because, you know, these are nuns and school teachers and accountants and, you know, they have day jobs. They have families. They are...
And a lot of kids, too.
And there's 60 children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was a big age range. We had... The youngest was probably, I don't know, maybe 10, and the oldest was 85. So we ran the gamut in terms of age groups here.
So in the film, Requiem for My Mother, you actually show us a part of that performance, and it's huge. I mean, it's big. As a composer... How do you think that debut performance went?
Oh, I was just floored. I mean, it is a lot to put together. And remember when the Prague Orchestra flew to Rome and met us, and Candace had, one rehearsal with them by themselves. And then we only had one rehearsal combined. So there was only one run through on the day of the performance with all of the horses, you know, on the stage together. And somebody described it as a musical traffic jam. You know, there's about 210 musicians on this stage. It's just giant. It's a giant production. So, yeah, one through. That was it.
We're talking to Stephen Edwards about the documentary titled Requiem for My Mother. That documentary will be broadcast on Sunday at 7 p.m. on Detroit Public TV. And at 4 p.m. on Sunday, it will air on WKAR Lansing, WGBU, WGKV Grand Rapids, and CMU-TV in Flint. Stephen, one more question. What do you think your mother would think of that Requiem?
That's a really good question. I think she would love it. I think it's, you know, it was so inspired by who she was. And I feel like I knew her so well until my 40s, until she passed away. And I thought of her all the time when I was writing it. So I would certainly hope that it would be something that she would love, and it would be playing on her CD player. And, you know, there's even a flute soloist in there, and Rosie was a flute player. So it's, you know, it's the custom music written for her persona. And it's the custom music I wrote to transport her soul to the next place.
Stephen Edwards, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.